Sure, this is your. Okay. Yes, compliance with the open meeting law. Sent to county clerk and posted on the website out here at the building, sent to the radio station and newspaper.
Okay, I need approval of the agenda.
Move it, Brandon.
And a second.
Awesome.
Motion made in second for approval of the agenda. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, approval of minutes, May 15, 2024.
I've got an addition. I kind of chuckled to myself when I was reading the minutes. Lester Jansen made and seconded motions throughout the meeting, but he's not listed as being even in attendance, so he needs to be around.
It's a ghost, do you?
Apparently I was here, but.
Yes, you were.
I actually read those too, so I have it.
I'm sorry.
But I could think I skipped right over the attendance. You see what you want to see. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'll make a motion to approve of that change.
I'll second.
Motion made in second, approval of the minutes with this change here. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Public comment / communication.
All right, well, so we've already introduced Valerie, but Valerie, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? The reason I get to know her is she was, we had the Blue River Meal site was in the village building, and you helped out and was a self for once in a while.
I've been married for 45 years. I live 4 miles south of Blue River. My address is Boscobel, though. We have one child. He's 34 years old, married 9 years, no grandchildren. I have worked as a clerk for the town of Waterstown, the village of Blue River, for a total of 40 years.
Never been a big deal.
Took some time off, worked as a nursing assistant at Riverdale Manor. The last 20 years, I was a clerk the village of Blue River. Before that, for 5 years, I was part-time doing the water and sewer clerking. And my husband decided, well, I decided I wanted to sell the cows for milking. And he said, you get a job, we'll do it. And I'll have it. Anyway, I decided it was only part-time. I thought, well, the position came up for the Blue River Meal site to be the manager. And I was in the same building. I worked until 10 o'clock downstairs, went upstairs, worked until 1, went back downstairs and came back up, finished whatever I needed to. Loved it. I loved working with those people. When I started, I had 2. When I finished, I was up to 15 there every day. I hated leaving my job. But the position came to be full-time right next door, right across the hall. And so I took that into sub for a while. I cried. We had such a good group and had so much fun. And
that was
so much.
Meal site too. That
and
was, it truly was.
We were more like a family. I mean, everybody knew everybody. Anybody came in, didn't take them long, they were part of our family. And I retired at 65 and I'm home now. We raise crops and steers and I do a lot of different things.
So no milking?
No. It was either quit or go bigger, and our son had no interest in the farm. And I said, no, because I did all the milking. We did not do well working.
Well,
I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. I was really happy when you accepted it. We were looking for somebody in that area. It did throw me off. Oh. It did throw me off when I was trying to get your number and I found the Boscobel address and I'm like, gosh, I thought she was in Blue River.
Yeah.
So then I thought, well, it must be one of those on the edge. So
the whole ridge is Boscobel. It goes almost to Muscadine.
Yeah, I did realize that after. So yeah, I was really glad that we were able to get in touch with you. So thank you.
You need the regional board reps needed?
So, yes. So Lester is looking at me. Don't look at me. The regional board needs a board supervisor, which Lester has agreed to. Right?
It was appointed yesterday.
So, and then we need a board member from here, and then we need a citizen board member, which can be from here or not be from here. So we're still in need of two. The meetings are in Darlington, but they can be zoomed into, so you don't necessarily have to travel to Darlington. There are a couple people that do Zoom in regularly. So I don't know if any of you have any interest. I did reach out to Arnold because I had talked to Arnold one time about being a citizen member on that. And the day I called, he had just had open heart surgery. So I have not, yeah. So, but his wife said he got through surgery well. So, but I did not, obviously, have not reached back up to him on that because.
How often is the regional one?
They meet, they don't meet 12 times a year. It's typically monthly. It's the third Thursday, fourth Thursday. It's the fourth Thursday. Because this is the week I've got county board, ADRC board, and regional. So it's the fourth Thursday. It's typically around 10. They sometimes change the time of it in the winter to make it.
About the 25th of this month.
Oh, I think it's, isn't it Thursday?
Next Thursday.
That's a Thursday.
Oh, maybe it's
next Thursday. This Thursday, it's the third. If it's next, it's the fourth.
Okay, it should be next.
Because this Thursday, highway can even say the third Thursday. So
I think it's the fourth Thursday.
I think it's the fourth Thursday.
You can come here and we can zoom it for you.
At their
transportation building.
The one right across from the highway shop.
Yeah.
Whatever you mean, they ball yeah. Thing could be.
It typically runs about like this one. It's never more than an hour usually. So.
Give me the time and the.
Yeah, I'll get you the information and the agenda. I don't think I've got the agenda yet, but as soon as I get it. And I didn't tell Mary yet that you were on. I was going to wait till today to do that. So, but yes, we do need that. So if anybody is willing to do that or at least zoom into it, it's pretty easy. You just really, it's more of an informational one. It's not as much policy setting or things like that. So, it's just, it is a requirement because we are regional to have that board. So you hear from Iowa County, Lafayette County, Green County. And then Mary Mesra is our regional director. She runs that. So don't all raise your hands at once, but if anybody is willing to do it or even willing to do it for a little while, just let me know. I won't force your hand at this point, but I probably will be back next week when Mary says, or next month when Mary says you still need a regional rep.
Next month, we do or die.
It might be. Yeah, I actually reached out to two people for citizen members. I think I reached out to a third one too, but I can't think who that is right now. But yeah, I didn't fare well with either one of those. So still working on that. So let me know.
Advocacy reports and activities.
So the regional board meeting, was I there? See, this is that one of those meetings where they talk a lot, but it's one of those that doesn't stick in my head very well. I think Mary mostly went over funding again. I think some advocacy was talked about. Don't remember much else on that. I apologize. Oh, I'm sorry. It was advocacy because it was, it's been a rough week. Sorry. It was a combined meeting with Richland, with the ARC of Eagle Country. And they did some, they had Janet Zander there to talk about advocacy. And then they had some representatives from legislators. The legislative offices there as well to hear about what's going on at the ADRC and what needs to happen. So There was some discussion on that. So, and then they all had a nice lunch from Bob's Barbecue, but I was zooming in, so I didn't get that. but they did have, I think they had representatives. Howard's office was there, Howard Markline's, Travis's office was there, Seattle County. I'm thinking his name all of a sudden. And I am, Molly was there from Van Orden's. Yes. So, yes. And he's always very supportive. None of them had obviously any issues with ADRC. So they all call us when we get constituents with problems. So we're kind of their helpers usually. So, all right. Keep going?
Farmer, yeah, you can go over.
All right. Yeah. Farmers Market program is going well. Started June 1st. I would say we're about 76% through it. The vouchers are $45 this year. Last year they were $35. We saw an increase in people wanting them last year when they went from $25 to $35, and $45 is even more desirable. They have to be income and age eligible. We have been out to, Courtney and I have been out to most of the sites. We visited most of the meal sites, all of them, I guess, to get them out to people in the community. They can still come into our office anytime when the office is open and fill out the paperwork for them. And as long as they're income and age eligible, they can get the $45 in vouchers. And those can be used through October 31st. The program actually ends September 30th, but the vouchers are still good through October. So they can be used at like Apple Orchards and things like that. So it's a really good, it's a really nice benefit for people. So
what farmers markets accepted?
There's a list of them, and they can be, they can actually go to any farmers market in the state of Wisconsin. The vouchers that we give can only be given to Grant County residents because they're ours, but they can go to any farm stand, so they can go in Crawford. So the state usually does a list. We give them a brochure of the available farm stands.
Who handles the paperwork?
On the farm stand?
For the reimbursements.
They work with the state on that. They have to have post that they're a approved vendor. The state does some training.
And say the other day it's going to come. Accepted. That's why I'm asking.
I wonder if that's SNAP, because that's not true.
The nutrition person works for the state.
Yeah,
maybe. I thought she just said two, but maybe.
Because Boscobel, I know Boscobel's isn't Platteville's. I'm trying to think if you got the brochure.
Platteville has one. Yeah.
We give them up.
I think that's the two that she mentioned, but you know,
there's and it might not be every stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there is
at those locations.
Correct.
Okay.
At the Platteville Farmers.
So again, I was just
right,
the logistics behind.
Yeah.
It.
Yep. Boscobel, Fenimore, Lancaster has a couple. Potosi and Cassville, they each have one. So it's not necessarily every farmer, but there is at least a stand out
in that.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the state usually, like oftentimes, the state is updating that as the summer goes.
Oh,
they'll
yeah.
start adding the orchards in and things like that. So we always tell people just check because there's a yellow sign
mm-hmm.
that they post, and then we always tell people to look for that yellow sign.
Okay.
And then we give them, when we give them the brochure, you know, because it's Grant, we give them Grant, Crawford, Iowa. Counties, so in Richmond,
okay.
Richmond too.
Probably
so.
Doesn't work in Dubuque.
No.
And someone like, I mean, going to the orchards, they're like, oh, we can get donuts. And I was like, no, it has to be fresh produce. Get donuts and pies.
Be all over that yeah. with the donuts.
They'd be gone the first week.
Yeah.
You can get apples, but not donuts.
No. But you can get fresh fruits, vegetables, and some herbs.
Herbs, yep.
But yeah, and Maggie did She did come to Boscobel. She was with me in Boscobel, and she did some level two. She did some nutrition education for the people that came. So that's part of it too. When we do the applications with them, then we also have to provide them with some information on fruits and vegetables and farmers markets. Give them that. So, but yeah, it's a nice little program. We don't get. I should point out, we don't get any financial benefit from it. So it's just our time that we're putting in. But we, you know. Again, it's just one of those, it's a good program, and most of the ADRCs do do it, but it doesn't financially benefit us in any way. So we get nothing from it.
Busier schedule.
So busier schedule, exactly. What else were we gonna do, right? So yeah, we've got 127 packets, and I think we were in the 80s, so we're very close to that.
I did a couple yesterday.
Did you?
So, yeah.
So I think we'll be done with that before too long. So, upcoming events, just getting these in the newsletter, and Courtney just said this morning we've got that they changed the stress busting for caregivers. So do you have the dates on that? Did you?
So it's just going to start a week later. So instead of July 22nd, it'll start the 29th. So I'm assuming it'll go till September 30th then, just a week later. It doesn't sound like they have a whole lot of people signed up, so they're trying to give it a little bit more time to get more attendees.
And actually, that was probably in my last newsletter, so that probably signed up. It's probably. We've got Healthy Living with Diabetes being offered. We have partnered with Green County for some of those. We are not getting people for our prevention programs, and the state just keeps pushing these online ones because they know we don't have enough staff to provide them. And the online ones are not as popular, so looking to maybe offer some people that might want to do it, if they want to come to our office and they can Zoom from our office, that way they don't have all the technical, phobia that they might have. So we're looking at that. I'm putting a big article in the newsletter this week, well, it'll be the next newsletter, that we are partnering with the following organizations to provide some prevention programming, because our prevention programming is like, what is it, $5,000 and so it's just really frustrating. But we'll keep, as the population continues, there'll be more people that will be willing to be a little more tech savvy, and I think we'll do it, but it's just right now, we just don't have that kind of group here. Memory Cafe is coming up. This is a new one in Lancaster. That Haley is doing, our dementia care specialist. So the Memory Cafe is just a place where people with dementia and their caregivers can come and just sort of hang out and socialize together in kind of a judgment-free zone and, just a comfortable place. So she's trying that out. And then she's got a Booster Brain and Memory coming up at the Platteville Senior Center August through September. And that's usually a popular workshop that she does. That will be good as well.
Is it on just those two dates, or is
it is no? It's August 7th through the 18th. But I didn't.
So she's there every day, or
I think
once
it's
a week?
Weekly.
I think it's weekly. Yeah. We've got a flyer on it in our newsletter.
If I could use.
Well, you can tell I need it today. A little bit of no sleep, and it doesn't take much for me not to remember anything. Right, Erie? As I went to drop off stuff to you the other night,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, give me that sitting on my desk. So worried about my laptop that I,
okay,
it's Wednesdays.
Wednesdays.
That one is in person. I don't believe there is a Zoom option on that one, but she does a Zoom option as well. So
the stress busting one, that first one, that you can do in person or virtual.
Or virtual. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving along. You want me to go, Gary? on advocacy reports?
Advocacy report, yeah, go ahead.
So we've got a few things. The state came out with a new report on the impact of ADRC on the tribal programs in Wisconsin. So that is available if you want to look at it. 147,319 customers were served in 2023. A person interacts with an ADRC in Wisconsin every 60 seconds. I think it's more. Right now. I think we're above average. I think it's every 60 seconds. It felt like it when I was on phones the other day, anyway.
Lori, is that report online?
Yes, I think if you Google it, or I can send you out a link if you'd like it.
Could you do that?
So, and if you want a hard copy of it, I'll be happy to share it with you. I just wanted to let you know it was available. And it does have some interesting information in here. What they really look at is that return on investment. So they're looking at for every dollar invested, it leads to a savings of $3.88. Again, I think that's probably a little higher, but that's not that. I don't know what their formula is. But they do look that that ADRCs prevent about 61 hospital readmissions per 1,000 people served and about 101 emergency department visits per 1,000 people served is what they're looking at. And obviously our goal is to keep people living home for as long as they can, but safely. I think it's really got some kind of interesting information in it. And the most I'll just share a couple things and then we'll move on. But the most popular topics discussed during ADRC interactions in 23 were public benefits, housing, food, and transportation, medical and health concerns, financial and legal assistance, nursing homes and assisted living, community resources and education, caregiving, abuse, neglect, and loneliness, and unmet needs. It's interesting. So if you would like some, I would or like a copy, I'll be happy to give it to you. The estimated monetary impact was $224,746,524. That was for benefit specialist services. Benefit specialists had over 120,000 interactions with customers. They helped 45,000 customers and resolved 92,000 of those customers' needs for that impact. And that's usually helping people work through. Lots of times it's just an insurance thing. Or if you've seen our reports, you know, we actually had one who they somehow merged their benefits with somebody else's just because they had the same name. And then they couldn't get through the rigmarole, the red tape to get it solved. And our EBS did that and helped them and got the benefits back in order. And I mean, that's kind of the stuff that happens, and getting it unwound is a little difficult sometimes. So or sometimes people just get themselves in the jam. They think, I didn't need any medications. I'm good. I'll be okay with this plan. And then something drastic happens, and suddenly the plan they picked isn't going to work out as well. And so working through some of that. So, but yeah, it's very interesting. So I will be happy to share that with you. There's a couple other things that I have too. Older Americans Act is getting reauthorized this year. So this is just some information on Older Americans Act and some of the goals that they're looking to get within that reauthorization. There is some concern that meals and things like that will be cut. It's already happened for this year. We've already been cut in our NSIP funding by a little over 9,000. This year, we just got that cut came through. So I've got some Wisconsin advocacy brochures that talk about, again, different positions and some reasons why we need what we need. So if you want to talk with your legislators or you're planning on seeing them, you can grab some of this and I'll be happy to make you a copy. And then I've got the Meals on Wheels reauthorization too. And talk about that. So I won't burden you with all of it, but if you want to look at it or you want a copy of it, I'll be happy to share it with you. I am very concerned about meals. That there is the outlook is not great for that. So
and I would like to have copies.
Great, we'll get them for you right
now. That was one thing when I was working as a manager. A lot of them said it wasn't so much the meals, it was coming in and having people to talk to. Because I had five men.
Yeah.
We had a lot of litter. And they said that sometimes that was the only interaction they had with people that day. And I had one that I home delivered to. And I would take her meal, set aside, and then go back later because she didn't see anybody all week. You know, that interaction with people
yeah.
is so important. And like they said, you know, we could go somewhere and eat. But here, we're with people we can talk to that have the same history we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were all pretty much farmers,
mm-hmm.
had grown up together in that. And when the meal site discontinued because of COVID, one gentleman said, I don't see anybody all day. He said, maybe once a week, one of my kids will call.
Yeah.
And we did a finishing one.
Yeah, and so I mean, social isolation is a big thing as well, and we do. It's very true.
You know, the meals were important, yes, but it was
yep.
having the reason to come. And one of the things I found out, these people like were in their late 70s, early 80s. People were working longer, so it was harder to get them to come in. But once they did, and got in routine. They came quite often. So the meal sites are something that I'm passionate about.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do. And if you talk to legislators, you know, please let them know. We've got a good relationship right now with Molly, which is Jared Van Orden's aide. And since our Title III funding is federal funding, we do let her know. I just sent her some information that she's requested. Couple weeks ago, we usually touch base. She's come out and delivered meals for us as well. So
one of the things that was very popular was the person that came around. She was Mrs. Bush. She did prepared meals or something, and she always had one. We had quite a group that was always interested in helping her, and it was always a fun time. You know, laughter and that. I think that's very important for these people.
It absolutely is.
It was
yes.
important for me.
Yes.
But
yes.
I mean, they were always willing to get in there and help with her. And when that discontinued, it was missed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's getting, I mean,
you know, it's getting harder to fund these things.
It's getting very, very difficult to fund. It's getting tighter and tighter, and our population is aging, and we're a large crony. So. Well, that's going to lead us right into the next one, Gary.
Nutrition.
Yes. So I'm going to let Courtney take the lead on that, so she's been the one dealing with meal prioritization.
Yes. So I did just give you a handout today, which we would have talked about last month had we had a meeting, but I wanted to give you some of the results of the pilot of the meal prioritization. So we ended up doing 62 assessments. 21 of those were like new people, initials, or if they had been off for 6 months to a year, you know, and they were calling back, they would be initial. And 43 assessments. So actually that's 64, not 62. But so we did quite a few. I did most of them because they were reassessments and getting back out into the home. And that's been my first big push of that since COVID and trying to get back to all the normal there. The intern, Michaela, when she was here, she helped with 12. She did quite a few here in Lancaster. And then one was done by an INA specialist. So I just have some of the results there for you. The nutrition risk level, majority, 61% of them were moderate. So that would have been, the offering there would have been 3 home delivered meals with the all in that moderate. High, we had 36% of them with that. So that would be up to 5 meals a week. And then the low, just a couple of those. And that would have been a congregate offering, or if they were out of town, potentially carry out. Yep. So some of the reasons for the high risk, they're unable to go out and grocery shop or prepare, stand at a stove and prepare adequate meals. They live alone with no real supports, or can't leave their home unassisted. So they can get groceries once a week, but their daughter has to come get them because they can't drive, or they can't carry. A lot of them can't carry the groceries in. They can only get a few things at a time. And maybe they can't leave the house that many times a week, you know, things like that. Some of the other things were, Early onset dementia, Parkinson's, suffers from seizures. You know, there were some other things going on too. Reason for moderate risk, they're unable to consistently access meals at the congregate dining. That's something where it's literally day to day whether they can get up and get out of the house. Some days they feel really good and they can. Other days they really can't. So that was kind of when the 3 days a week would maybe be more beneficial. And then if they felt good on those other days, they could come in. I have seen a lot more people, I think, after COVID having that fear and anxiety of being around people, just with everything that happened. There's a lot more anxiety about being around a group of people or a larger group of people. So you can kind of see some of those things there. Can function with temporary loss of service of 1 to 3 days. So that's, you know, they could use some help, but they don't necessarily need that check-in or meal 5 days a week. Some of these were recovering from surgery and things too, is, you know, they had a hip replacement, they can kind of get around, but, you know, they just need a little help while they get back on their feet. And then the low risk, you know, it's a caregiver, spouse, meal, living alone or with, does have some outside support. Their kids come twice a week, you know, they have a little bit more check-in there, and they're able to manage their resources and they have supports. So we did have a decent amount of overrides, and a lot of that was due getting out in that home and seeing them. You know, the one lady, she had a phone that helped with her hearing, but talking face to face, her hearing was not great. You know,
what's override?
So their level after I did their assessment put them in low, but when I went and visited them, it was
it determined
that they actually could use maybe three, and they're not actually able to go to congregate. So I overrided their initial score.
And this was a statewide project, and that was
correct.
Seen
everywhere. The overrides was seen everywhere. And part of that too was the recent discharge or that surgery they just came home from. They don't generally need this many meals, but for these 4 to 6 weeks, we can do this. So those ended up being a lot of overrides too. They just needed short-term help to get back on their feet. We did also include some additional questions. So that went in, you know, are they on oxygen? Because that's not in the assessment. Or some of that anxiety or depression, is that a concern? That does that affect them leaving the house? So some of those questions also would bump people up a little bit higher, which caused an override. So approval length, you can see, you know, 11% of them were those short-term, or the 3 to 6, that, I mean, some of them just needed some of that back on their feet stuff, but then 63% were just kind of qualify. Yep, they need them. So some other supportive services that were offered, so that's part of the assessment process too, is, you know, some of them got the food resource guide, so that's got food pantries and some other options, meal order, meals if they need frozen meals for the weekends, you know, giving them some other information. I had a couple referrals to Haley, our dementia care specialist. They wanted to speak with her. Food share assistance, I had a couple of those. So it's also giving them access to other resources as well. So the pilot is finished. We, GWAR has officially put it into action July 1st. They did make some adjustments. So if it is someone who's recently discharged, you can automatically, they qualify. You can automatically give them however many meals you see fit. You know, the 3 to 5 generally is what I would say for up to 3 months. So whether it's 4 to 6 weeks, 8 to 12 weeks, and then we would reassess, check back in and see where they're at. So there shouldn't be as many overrides on the new form. So I've been using that already. I've got to get that data in. They're going to continue to monitor it and see how things are going. This is brand new. So they want to see how it's working, and you know, in 6 months to a year, we might be adjusting things again.
And are they leaving it? I guess because I wasn't on your last call. Are they leaving it as a pilot, or are they? Because I know they said everybody had to use the prioritization, but is that everybody is using it, or if you buy into the prioritization?
If you
have a wait list.
If you have a wait list or think you need to prioritize, this is the form and process you have to use. If you've got plenty of funding, which nobody does, you don't have to do it. but there are people who aren't necessarily on a wait list yet.
Yeah.
So we are, so yeah. I am using it.
For the first time, Valerie, we had to institute a wait list. The, mm-hmm. the whole time that I've been here, we never have. But we did in Platteville, just to the sheer numbers. And it, you know, we had, at one point, what we were doing, over 80 meals a day.
90 plus.
Yeah,
yeah, 90 to 100. Just, yeah.
It was a huge concern. you can't just overload your volunteers,
right?
You can staff it, so
so it's across the state, everyone has to use the same form, same process,
which is good. I mean,
it
that
should help keep everything uniform. Yep, and everybody has the same thing, so
yeah. And then you don't have this, well, I came from Sauk County and they do this,
yes.
and now you don't want to do this for me. And it, you know, because we do get those sometimes, so it'll keep it more uniform that way too. So.
They did change, we're not calling it meal prioritization yet, so I should have changed that. It's the right meal for you. So it's finding the right meal service for you.
Lung that a little bit.
Yes, so it doesn't quite sound like we're prioritizing you over you.
Yeah.
Just the right meal for your situation. So
well, that's good because I struggle to say prioritization most of the time.
So any questions on that?
I think this was a good process.
Yes. I'm glad we did
kind of.
We needed to do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
this put more pressure on her because she really took the lead on this and was the one that did it. And so that was again, it was additional time that she really didn't have, but we thought it was important in terms of the wait list. So
mm-hmm.
I really do appreciate Courtney taking the lead on it and doing it because it's a little difficult. It's you've got somebody on the phone that needs meals and then you have to do all this stuff. And it's a tricky balance.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Well,
the thing that really
make sure that survey went with it.
Yes.
Yes.
Push
it hard when you deliver
your
meal.
Yes.
Okay. But I'm particularly, I don't know, impressed or awed or shocked about the override.
Mm-hmm.
So what people are telling you on
mm-hmm.
phone when you do actually do the
mm-hmm.
visit
mm-hmm.
is different. That's
mm-hmm.
significant
mm-hmm.
with seniors.
Mm-hmm.
That
and it's
maybe
it's,
we're not as
yeah.
honest with ourselves about
mm-hmm.
what we're capable of.
You want to be independent and you're oh, I don't need help with that. But
The way I heard Courtney describe this, some of the challenges, my interpretation was the survey is a little too hypocritical. As you said that you learned more about their medical
mm-hmm.
somewhat outside of the survey. So I think that we need to be, you know, so cautious with HIPAA that we can't ask the questions. But they give it up. I mean, it's the same with
sure.
any interpersonal action. You start talking about something and pretty soon they,
right.
like you say, once you meet them in person,
yeah.
they're going to share
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And the people at that age group are people that have most of their life not had to seek out services for themselves
yeah.
and do things like that. So they're proud. They don't like to do that. And sometimes also they get pressured into maybe getting meals, you know, their kids are like, you need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of like, I'm not that needy, but
right.
then turns out maybe they are. I mean, you know,
particular
yeah.
data,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
when you mentioned about the mission of what
yes
the goal is to keep people in their
yes.
homes
yes.
and out of the hospital.
Yes.
Right.
That's
Mm-hmm. And the one thing I did take away from that report, I did see the printed version
yeah.
of one, and it was a statewide. It was
yeah.
all over the state that they
yes.
were seeing that same thing. That
yeah,
it happened that way. So yeah.
And now that they've tweaked the form, you know, hopefully we won't see quite as many of those. And we have a a few other additional questions too that we're asking, you know, to get, because the anxiety and some of that wasn't on the original, but they were like, no, if I have to go to that meal site and sit with people, I won't eat. I had a couple of people say that they just won't eat.
Yeah.
Or they've had teeth or mouth problems that it takes them a long time to eat, or they're not comfortable eating in front of other people because the only people they eat in front of is their kids. they won't go to a restaurant.
Early fitting dentures are a real thing in older adults. And
they shouldn't go hungry because of that, you know, I mean, so. What's that?
Won't eat pork.
Yeah,
but every time that there's a pork meal.
You have to order that.
I'm just letting Pinky's peace and I'm done with it.
So, can give his pork to his dog and eat the rest of it. Or you can cancel that day. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He can cancel.
Well, we don't force you to eat it.
And first part was he didn't get the menu.
Oh, so he didn't know.
I took him one, and from now on, you guys mail him.
Yes.
So it
just got to
be, I kind of got to
Yeah.
Better to eat dogs.
We have one in another area that doesn't like the chicken, and it's like,
right.
You know, don't order the chicken.
Just comical.
Yes. Yep. No one's forcing you to eat that chicken, and we're not coming back to check that you did. So.
Warn people too. It's like, we do have liver and onions, so if you know you're not going to eat that, just cancel that day. You know, no hard feelings.
Just cancel that day.
And yet we have some people that just live for that.
They want it more often.
He gives meals Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. That's his way of doing business.
Yeah. Well, I do think we were a little hesitant. We didn't know at the beginning. And like I said, Courtney attended the meetings and said, let's try it, and did an awesome job. And like I said, it's a little more work on her, but I think it's worked out well. And I think too, explaining to people the rationale for why you're getting meals, before it was always so iffy if you had somebody that really didn't qualify for home delivered and you'd be giving them, you know, some information. But this way you can just say, you know, this is how we do it, this is the process. And then if they don't agree with it and they want to appeal it, they can come back to us and we can, you know, again, we can look to see if there truly is a need for an override. But I think it's a little bit cleaner process to do moving forward. So yeah. That's great. We've got meal cost tool on for nutrition as well. Every year we have to submit the meal cost tool to the state. And then that is used to establish a price for meals that we use on our meal cost posters when we put out information on participant contributions. And then it's also used in what we determine to be the price for private pay meals or family care meals that are purchased. Before COVID, we never had such a big difference between congregate and home delivered meals, because there was a little bit more of a balance, although obviously our home delivered meals have been on the rise for a while, even pre-COVID. But obviously since COVID, we are not doing as many congregate meals, nor do we have as much interest in them. So our congregate meal cost actually comes out to $21.92, which is just because we keep assigning some of those costs. You know, your rent costs are still the same and all of that. So it does make those higher. The home delivered meal costs actually this year came out to $15.55. And so that will be, and then the carryout cost came out to like $15.59. So we will actually be using that $15.55 as far as, so we're going to talk about family care in just a minute, but we will use that as the meal cost moving ahead for any private pay or any family care paid meals. That is up from 1401 last year. And it kind of does that in some years. I still don't even think it's probably our true cost. In all honesty, it's always based on 23. And as you know, everything goes up every year. So I think it's probably more than that. But that is what what we use, and I think we probably do need approval on changing that meal cost to $15.55 to charge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I need a motion to approve meal cost to $15.55. Motion on second.
I'll make a motion.
Second. Motion made in second to approve the meal cost of $15.55. All in favor?
Aye. And
opposed?
And that doesn't affect our donations. We have, our donations are still set at
$4.
And so that doesn't affect that at this point, unless you choose to change that at some point. It just affects what we charge to family care mostly. Once in a while, we do get some private pay as well, but mostly it's family care. So speaking of family care, as Courtney has been sitting in on these meetings with prioritization across the state, and everybody is kind of worried about their nutrition budgets, and everybody's nutrition budgets were turned upside down since during and after the pandemic. People, we're seeing a number of counties across the state not providing family care meals anymore. So in some counties such as ours, My Choice contracts with us. Well, actually, My Choice doesn't contract with us.
Yes.
I've managed to get by without a contractor ever since they came on board. You want our meals bad enough, I guess you'll do it. I'm kind of thinking that might be our saving grace with Inclusa too. I don't like their contracts because they're very, it's just a lot more work for us, for one thing. And, you know, it's a good deal for them. So, do you know how many we've got in family care right now?
Ooh.
Do we have it on our report? Should be, right? No?
That's how many meals, but not how many people.
Oh, well, just you can say how many meals, but you can just look at that.
About 20, not quite 20. Okay. 17, 18, right.
So several of the counties in the state in the last probably, what, year or two, that no longer are providing those meals to family care participants. So if they identify as family care, they tell them they need to go back to their family care agencies and work with them to secure meals. Because right now what happens if they need them, they go to family care, family care secures the meals, they usually come to us. Not in probably every single area,
right.
But if they're truly looking for a meal that's delivered, then family care is usually contracting with us to do that at the cost of $15.55. That's supposed to cover our cost, but like I said, I don't believe that it does because it's always a year old.
What's the criteria for family care? I mean,
so we don't determine that. Family care determines that. So Inclusa, My Choice would determine if somebody, if their participant who they are providing services to qualifies for that. Do you know how they do that?
I don't.
I mean,
but is that covered under?
It's not
ADRC. How?
It is,
what's the connection?
We don't do any assessments on family care because as far as we're concerned, once a participant moves on to family care, they don't really have anything to do with the ADRC. So if they have a care manager through Inclusa and they take care of them. So they might be providing them in-home support. They might be providing transportation. Sometimes that transportation might be provided by ADRC and they reimburse ADRC. They might need a meal, and sometimes that meal might be provided by ADRC and they contract with us for that as well. So right now we do have an Inclusa contract that always says, here's the amount of money we pay. And then Inclusa has all these requirements that they want us to do, and they want us to, well, I'll go into that. If you'd like to see the contract, I'll bring it to you. It just, it's always been kind of a point to me because what typically happens, and it's nothing that I haven't said in any other public meeting, so I'll say it. What typically happens is family care goes in and out of favor with us. So they might decide this year that $15.55 is too high and they're not going to pay that. So then they'll go and tell all their participants that we're taking you off meals. Well, who do you think those participants call? They call us. And we want those meals, and they don't want to give us those meals, but we still want those meals because we like those meals. And that's happening all over the state. State's well aware of it. They complain about it all the time. But when they can't, so they pull up, but then when they can't find any meals, or this isn't working out for them, or our meal cost is, you know, they find out we're probably the only show and tell sometimes, the easier one, then they might start putting this on. So there tends to be a wave in, they'll start taking people off, and then we won't hardly have any, and then they'll start putting them back on, and then we'll have them.
Is that a state or a federal?
It's a...
quasi?
It's state.
Yeah.
It's state.
Yeah. There are federal dollars involved, but it runs through the state, so...
So, this is maybe a poor choice of words, but to the participants, they feel that it's a continuum of care. You've served them before, so we don't want to change. But inclusive or whatever their new name is, my choice, they don't want to muddy water with their clients. So then.
I think it's more they find out they can't find anything anywhere else, and we're easy because we deliver. But you know, we don't have volunteer costs. And I have always said to the state, if we estimated our volunteer costs into these meals, then that's what they should be paying.
Those family care companies are not volunteering their services. So we're taking advantage in a way of our volunteers.
Yes, and that is really our biggest point in this whole thing. It is taking advantage of our volunteers. It puts more stress on our volunteers to deliver these meals. We've gone round and round about it. The problem is we don't want to have a phone call from somebody who isn't getting food. And typically, sometimes when they pull it back, then they bring somebody in the home to cook them, and then we'll hear, well, they just made me a sandwich or opened some soup, and you know, and that's not what we want to hear.
They're eating the same thing for 2 or 3 days. You know, they make a big casserole, but it's a casserole. You're not getting your veggies, your fruit, your other things, it's leftovers.
So you said Dane County is one of the bigger counties that...
If you are on family care, you cannot get meals through the ERC, through the home delivered. And we are not required to. I've reached out to Pam and Jean. We are not required to serve family care participants.
Which is a change, because I went round and round with them over that, probably, well, it was pre-pandemic, and said, you know, you guys have to make a decision on this. And they couldn't at that time. And they said, well, we can't really say no. And I'm like, well, and do you know of other counties? Do we have any closer counties?
La Crosse maybe does. Jean said that she had just talked to Richland County, to Tanya, about it. And so I reached out to her, but I haven't heard back. I mean, we would have to have a policy in place that states that, you know, a local policy, I think.
And I think, Courtney, your concern comes into play a lot of times in Platteville. Since Platteville's our hot spot, it's where the wait list is. It's like, should we have a wait list when we've got people receiving family care meals that are taking up our volunteer time, and then we still have a wait list? So we're kind of subsidizing one and
for the other. If you think about it, if I were to do an assessment on someone who is on family care, and they do have someone coming in, and they do have family locally, they're really not going to qualify for meals either, because they have other supports in place. They've got other supportive services, so they're really not going to qualify, at least for 5 meals, you know, with us anyways. And I've gotten a few phone calls recently where people have been taken off, and they say we're too expensive, so they're going to order mom's meals, or they can pay a caregiver to come in 3 hours a week, or you know, to make those meals or something. But they're not getting that daily check-in then necessarily. And I've tried to say, well, maybe they don't need 5 days. Maybe they need 3. That would help their budget, you know. Then they would still get 3 hot, balanced meals and try to work with them. You can take that back to your care manager. But right now, they're just taking them off and looking for other options. Having frozen meals delivered through mom's meals or something. And we're just in that trend now. And it is hard when you talk to those, either the participant or the family member, that it's not the same and it's not going to be the same. And understand, but I can only do so much. You can only do so much.
Yeah, so we're not necessarily asking you to make a decision today. I can share the contract. I'm sure some of the things that we're required to do on top of everything else with that. And we'll kind of see how our numbers play out next month again, too.
We're significantly down. Last month, we had 406 meals, and this month, we're down to 240, 261.
Which is why we thought it might be a good time to bring it up, why we're on the lower trend. So any thoughts on it? I mean, do you have some concerns, or are there things you want us to bring back next month? Or if you're simply, like, I don't think it's a good idea, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
Because we go back and forth on it ourselves, so.
It's not that I don't want to serve them, but if they've already got services in place sometimes, and then I've got to put someone on the wait list who doesn't have anybody, their family's in Wyoming or wherever, you know, they don't have
right.
supports that a family care participant does.
Because regardless how it's getting paid for, it's always delivered. Technically by a volunteer.
Correct.
Or one of our staff if the volunteers aren't available. So it's always that. So in my, you know, at one point I'm like, well, if they want to have their own volunteer that comes and gets it, they can contract with us. Mm-hmm. But they need to do the delivery because it's just, you know, again, we can't.
It's the confusion. Because they think they're getting care from family care, but you're delivering the mail.
Yeah.
So now they're going to call you.
Yes. And it's,
right.
We have that with family care all the time because people enroll with family care with us. And so when they have complaints about family care, when you look at our program reports, when you see complaints and advocacy, those are usually complaints on family care because people call us to complain because they think we're still all part of that. So we enroll them, so we must have something to do with it. So,
so two things. Is there, because I've been on here a while.
Yes,
it's very confusing.
It is confusing.
And
family care is totally separate from us.
But do you have is there a simple organizational chart as far as?
Yeah, we can.
These are the programs. This is how ADRC fits in. And this is what ADRC is responsible for.
Yeah.
Because.
Sure. Yep.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It is. And family care is actually, the state contracts with these family care agencies to provide services. But we are the gateway to long-term care. So we're the people that determine if you're eligible for long-term care financially and functionally. So we determine if they need a functional assessment, which is different than per nutrition assessment.
Right.
So our staff determine that. Then they determine if they're Medicaid eligible. They meet that criteria. And then once they determine that, then they do enrollment counseling with people to determine if they want family care, if they want inclusive, if they want My Choice, or if they want to go through the IRIS program, which is a more self-directed program. And then you got to pick all that. So they work with those people to pick that. And then once that person decides where they want to go, then our staff enroll them. And then send all it off to them. And then once that goes to Inclusa or My Choice or the IRIS, then that's, we're done with that. But.
So, but as from very simplistically, from a county citizen,
mm-hmm.
you are the gateway to all of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's.
And
so,
then what muddies the waters is then family care provides. People on family care need transportation to medical appointments and they need meals. So what muddies the water is then family care comes back and says, well, we don't have any transportation providers, but ADRC does. And so the states thought it to be a good idea to say, well, you can contract with ADRC because ADRC's got all these volunteer drivers. So they get a very good discount on transportation because they come through us and we only pay volunteer drivers, the IRS rate, and then they come back for meals. So it's always been kind of a, for me, it's always been kind of like, they're getting a really good deal, and we're kind of doing all the work in transportation and meals sometimes. And that's, I think, what it became with many other counties. It was like, man, we can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure somewhere in Dane, where it's tremendous,
yes.
They're just like, no, we're not going to do it anymore. But 8 years ago, the state was very wishy-washy on it. They're like, well, I don't know that we can do that. We still qualify. And so I'm very surprised that they've actually came down and said, mm-hmm. no, you don't know.
So you're looking to the committee to either say,
do we make a break and not contract with them?
Or, right, okay.
Yeah. And the reason we brought it now is meals are down and mm-hmm. we'll be entering into a contract with them towards the end of the year. It's usually when I start telling them, okay, usually September, October, as I say, here's the new meal cost, mm-hmm. and we start that process. So yeah.
But if you're gonna cut, you're not gonna enter into a contract.
Exactly. Now the other caveat to just throw a little more into it. I didn't enter into a contract with my choice at all. I just said no. They wanted a lot of things, and I'm like, no, we're not. We're just not.
So, do you provide any meals to my choice?
Occasionally, because they found that they use some loophole as we're an out of network provider, and they still do it, and I don't have any of the contract obligations. So, and I'm very tempted to do the same thing with Inclusa. Why should we be obligated to a contract? You know, they want me to provide training to all these volunteers on their services and what to do this. And I'm like, we got enough to do.
That's a conflict, isn't it? Because you're a resource.
Well,
you cannot give a family.
Yeah, we can't be biased.
Right.
Right.
So that's a conflict.
Yeah. So, you know, we could give it up and see if they truly want us. I guess they could use us. And you could make it if we don't have a wait list in that area. But if we have a wait list, then, you know,
I'm totally that if we have a wait list,
they need to be out.
Okay. Well, I'll bring you some more and I can maybe lay it out. It is very, I get it. It's confusing. Believe me, I've only been here 11 years, and the first 3 years I'm like, what? And then you have people call all the time and they're mad at so-and-so, and then, you know, and especially I get sucked in once in a while at the front desk, mm-hmm. if I'm hovering, and then I'll think, oh, what's going on with this person? And then one of my staff will be like, they're in family here, and I'm like, of course they are. Didn't think to ask that, so. And they don't know. They just want services, and they're getting services, and they don't really care if providing.
They're going to push until they hit a brick wall.
Yeah.
And they'll figure out something else.
Yeah. So we'll talk about it a little bit more, but I do think, if nothing else, to get rid of the wait list and not contract, and if they truly want to find a way to get our meals, they can. We can't. Can't subsidize meals for everyone. So, all right. So, we got through all of that. Was there anything else on nutrition? I think that was everything. That's pretty much.
Okay. Then we need a motion, a second, on approval of vouchers.
Any questions on the vouchers? You've got, Valerie, you've got a whole checklist in here.
Yes.
It looks like a long list of things. That we had anything.
I couldn't finish things off.
Yeah.
We had a repair on a van.
2 days.
Prince, most of it.
It's like tires on the taxi and.
Tires on the taxi, Flatwell meal site van got fixed. I don't know if that's in this one or not. It might be in June.
Well, ask the question. I can't answer it.
Mark's wondering why they had egg salad twice.
It's between congregate and home delivery. How it counts.
Thank you, Gabby.
That's why a lot of them are doubled up with nutrition.
Because the egg salad was so good the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I laughed at it. still says Memorial Hospital of Basketball. It hasn't been that long.
Yeah.
Several years.
Yeah.
I always laugh when I see that. Although the language like had aging, commission on aging, the other being an old staff person's name that hasn't been here in a long time. So laughs about that.
Stem program.
Off. Any questions on vouchers?
Second. Motion made and second. Approval of vouchers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Financial report.
Questions on that? I'm hoping, I was really hoping I'd have it done by this month, but it cannot go. We still have some wages we need to move around from the first payrolls of the year. I had waited a little bit because I didn't want to overwhelm Cody. But I got the first payroll done, and I think we're going to have a little in the second payroll, slightly into the third, maybe. I think it was the fourth payroll we started getting. So we had some wages that were allocated wrong. So there will be some adjustments to this too. So.
And just to be clear, this is the end of June.
Yes.
This is through June.
Yes, this is through June.
Correct.
So you will see some of those adjustments. A few of them could be a little significant. I know we've got some wages in the wrong categories. And that was just simply when Tyler Muniz was new. So what happened was we had someone when the accounting staff, whatever was happening, that somehow they were doubling wages, but when they backed it out of the wrong, the other their main account, which
their
they
default.
Yeah, their default account, and that wasn't the account to back it out of. So they might have overcharged in trips, but then they backed it out of service management, which is kind of causing me a little bit of confusion. So I'm getting that worked out, and then we'll start the process with Cody. But I didn't want to send one at a time because we'll probably have to make full adjustments on at least three. I think it'll be the three payrolls. And it's kind of a time-consuming process because I got to export it all down and then weed out all the ones that are okay and figure out the ones that are wrong. So it's a little bit of a time-consuming process. So, but we'll get it done and we'll get it taken care of. And so, but I'm making claims to GWAR and different funders, so I want to make sure it's on board very quickly. And I really wanted it to be done by this time, but life got in the way. Work life, not personal life. There is no personal life. anything else on here that you can think of, Court?
I don't think so.
You need a motion on that financial report?
Yes.
I need a motion in a second to approve the financial report. Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, vote made and second. Financial report, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Vote. Reports.
All right. I guess it could be some director's reports. You were wondering that. We are always under the impression that summer is going to be less busy, and then we're obviously under the impression that the winter is going to be less busy, and that's just not a thing at all, is it, Court? It's been wildly busy and wildly weird the last few weeks. So, Courtney and I and Mariah tried to take the heat off the ADRC specialists because they've been understaffed with somebody out on leave. And incredibly busy, and Nicole's been the ADRC supervisor. Nicole's been filling in for them. So Courtney and I and Mariah have been trying to fill in for farmers markets, so they don't have to do that as well and take the pressure off. So that's been interesting.
Yeah.
It's gone well, but it just makes things a little.
It's been helpful for them.
So. Yes. I think they've really appreciated it. So we had a lunch and learn at Lancaster Meal Site. We were trying to get some people there, and we did have 7 attendees that came to hear Haley, so that was nice. So that might be something we do again. Trying to get people to come there has been a little bit of trickier challenge just because I think it's in the apartments and again, there's just a it's a different world after COVID, but the Dementia Live event, they did not have a great attendance there. They only had 4 attend the event. One did a memory screen. Again, I get the memory screen. I wouldn't come to a public event for a memory screen. I'd want to do that on my own with an appointment. So our benefit specialists, Christian and Emily, were hosting the networking and team building event at the Association of Benefit Specialists annual conference that they had. And they were very pleased. They had really good attendance and they got really good feedback on it. So they were really excited about that. So that was really nice. Pueblo Meal Site's going well. I'm working on the aging plan. That's going to consume my life, hopefully, then over the weekend, because I have a report due next week, and we had some staffing issues this week, so I haven't gotten to it yet. I'm compiling that data. Right now, no surprises, the survey data is showing that housing options are one of the concerns, transportation is a concern, and in-home services are a concern. So those are usually the ones that rise to the top. So it's not all that surprising, but I'm also meeting to update emergency response and continuing operation plans, which I started, and I don't know where they're at right now. I have not revisited them in a week, so I'm going to have to go back in and see how much I have done on those, but those were not too hard. We are pretty good at knowing what we do there. So, and we all have our bags packed. We have emergency response bags ready to go at the ADRC. So if we do have an emergency in the county, we are not having to go grab those and pack those and get those ready. So, because we usually show up. But thank goodness all our little storms have not had a big impact. So that's great. Small impacts, big for some people, but thank goodness not a county impact. So. And then our nutrition services incentive grant, I just got notified of that in June. I wasn't very happy about that because I've already spent it. So now I got to adjust it. We got a decrease of $9,283. That was not good news since the grant's only about $38,000, $40,000 to begin with. So it's fairly a substantial decrease when that's all you get. We are working on Elderfest. Are you ready for some Elderfest? We'll be out. We have a little football theme going, and let's all hope the NFL doesn't sue me over it. There's no games being televised or anything. I checked. I made sure. Because after I started it, then I did find where they did a cease and desist to some church. But it was because they were going to host the Super Bowl. They were going to show the Super Bowl. Definitely can't do anything with the Super Bowl. That's what I've learned. Hopefully my little... Are you
well,
ready
now
for
you have Lester do karaoke.
Yeah.
I nominate you.
For what?
For Elderfest to do karaoke.
No time. I'm old enough to review.
So we have some, in honor of Are You Ready for Some Elderfest, we have some little miniature stress balls, blue and white, ADRC stress balls, footballs. That we will be given out at the Grant County Senior Day in August. We'll have a table there. So we'll be doing farmer's market at the fair as well, hopefully. We'll still have a few left. But the aging plan is due. Everything is due this fall. it's going to be real fun. The aging plan will be due, so I have to get going on the community engagement report for next week. It's due, and then the final plan is due in November. We just got word today that we have a DOT compliance site review that will also be in November. So the DOT was real terrible about their on-site. They were supposed to do an on-site compliance review every 5 years, and they were terrible about it. The first one they did with me, I don't think they've done one in 10, but now apparently they've gone on schedule, so they're right back on track, and I'm not really that excited. So that's a fair amount of work to do, but we'll get it done. So I did meet with the regional directors on Wednesday. We do have a second meeting scheduled to discuss the pros and cons of remaining as a regional ADRC. There's another region disbanding again. And part of the reason all these regions are starting to disband is is there's no regional incentive involved. The state used to give extra money if you were a regional. That has disappeared.
Thank you.
So a regional means that you're just contributing some money to the regional office. And as money gets tighter, that will probably get looked at. Most people were not looking at it. They thought the region was a good idea yet. It's been beneficial. It's been beneficial for us. We've had Lafayette come and help us with our disability cases and things like that. However, as things morph and we are busier and busier with a bigger share, and we got paid for people's other, you know, towards other counties that don't have quite as much busyness as we do. I basically said that, so. The thing is the process will probably take 6 to 9 months with the state if we do it, because we have to reapply to the state to be an ADRC. If it happened at all, it probably wouldn't happen till 2026. And it won't happen unless you guys approve it and board approves it. So we are having another conversation about it. But I did bring up, you know, the fact that, you know, different counties are busier. One of the things that I still think could maybe happen is that a couple counties could potentially combine. I don't know that that would happen because you know how counties are. But to me, that might make sense. They're already combined in the nutrition program, so that's a little more. I doubt that will happen. But we'll have another meeting on it. Mary did send out the staffing, the reports that you get on our contacts and things like that. Because we've been running at 38% to 40% of the contacts for the entire region for a while now. So our numbers definitely do not diminish. You see ebb and flow in some of theirs, but you don't see it in ours very often. So that's happening. I'll keep you informed until the regional managers group kind of makes a decision on that we can all live with as well. Then we'll start the conversation here and then at the board level. And maybe that won't happen. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. I did submit a grant to Epstein for $90,000. I tried to keep it under the $100,000 just to, you know, maybe get that. that is still in process. We don't know anything yet. I had to figure out some reporting in Tyler Muniz that got real interesting because she's like, well, here's what I'd like. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. But we finally worked it out. I finally got a report that she liked. And so it is submitted. So we're waiting to hear. I'm hoping we can at least get one. I'm really hoping for two. And I did explain within the grant, because they have a thing that at this point, while that I had spoke to Joe about transportation, that our bus program is going, you know, quite well. We're using that a lot. People are, you know, are using that, that this is really where need is right now. Because they don't want to pay for operating costs, and that's what we would really need in transportation. We can get vehicles right now. We still have a trust fund. So I'm hoping that they'll take that, and it's kind of easy. So I'm hoping. And we're still in Casco, so I'm hoping that we can get that, because we really need it. The Baskerville van is awful with them.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, meal cost tool, the payroll issues. We do have the new intake hours, so please know that my staff are working very hard from 8 to 4:30. But we're just kind of limiting those intake hours if we can. Staff are determining that on a daily basis. If they've gotten to the point, a couple of my staff started it a little bit earlier. This is a regional project that we are doing. And found it to be, they were very hesitant. They really mm-hmm. didn't want to do it, and we held off. And then a couple of them started to do it and found out that it really was much more efficient for them, that they're getting things in faster. Their cases are so much more complicated that they have to spend so much time with paperwork that it gave them a little bit more time to kind of get into that mode without having to answer the phone every 2 minutes. So a couple of them have got caught up. So if they're caught up at 3 o'clock, I know Madeline yesterday when I, or the day before when I was on, she actually opened up her phone line. So if they're caught up, they'll just open up their phone line and they'll take those calls. But otherwise, if somebody calls before 9, we just tell them that we'll return their call after 9. And if they call after 3 or walk in after 3, walk-ins are still a little tricky. What I've told Karen right now is to have Nicole or myself kind of come out and triage those. Because if somebody's walking in and they're in bad shape and really do need to see somebody, I'm not going to say, come back. So we'll kind of triage that and see. But for the most part, we're just trying to get people in the field at the best time to come would be between 9 and 3. And because our ADRC specialist staff are actually supposed to get their case notes in 2 days. Now, funny story is across the region, our staff have been the best at getting their notes in. It's not always within 2 days, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But they're always the quickest ones to get them in, even though they're the busiest. So sometimes that just goes that way, you know. You have to, so. But again, we rely on those notes. It's not just simply updating the case, because when we get phone calls, they pick up those case notes to look and see what, you know, if somebody called in and met with Nicole once, but now they've called back and they've got Stephanie, it's really helpful for Stephanie to go back and look at case notes to see what was done with them in the past. So, so far it's working out. Last thing we've had going is the state has ARPA money, as does several entities. And in your wisdom, they decided that they might rebrand ADRCs. So they created some new ADRC logo design. And then they started hearing from ADRC directors across the state that weren't very happy about this and made it well known that we weren't very happy about it. So then they did a survey out to ADR staff and some consumers and sent out the new logos and taglines, which were just confusing and would confuse people. So it's not very favorable, but they did have Mary then, because then they had to go back and say, okay, so where's all the places this logo would be that we would have to change, and how much is this going to cost? Like the big sign out here and the big sign in my office and the big sign in the lobby and all the signs on the buses and the vehicles. So Mary had to get all that information together and estimate what all that would cost. Not to mention all just of our materials that we do for recruitment that they want us to give out. So we didn't even get into that.
I don't understand why they would be talking about rebranding if they're not rebranding. They're trying to, I mean, if they have ARPA funds,
that's a waste of taxpayers' money.
But if you have ARPA funds, look at these programs. What are these? What are the ADRCs telling the state that they need? Find a way to utilize those ARPA funds to help the programs, not
somewhere else.
Create a logo. That's
and the logos are, you know, when you go, well, you guys maybe don't see it as much as we do, but every little conference we go, okay, well, even Meals on Wheels has it a little bit. They have the little dots that always look like little people, you know, so it's always with social work kind of stuff, it's always like, you know, here's a little person with a little dot, so it looks like a little, well, that's one of their logos.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one? Was it a, I don't know, they were all,
I don't know.
And is this ARPA money has to be spent by the end of the year?
Yeah.
It has to be allocated for this year and spent by the end of 2026. We've spent a
lot. And this committee could certainly come up with a list of requests.
Well, I think my staff did too. I think they may have regretted sending it out just because they opened it up to all staff. And then just hearing from my staff was like, I put in this and I put in this, and I'm like, oh good. And it wasn't just me then.
Does that come out of?
It would be the state, it would be ORCID, it would be the Office of Resource Development of the state, so Bureau. Yeah, the thing is what they came up with wasn't, it's like we have worked so hard to get our ADRC, and I'm like, they don't always know the order of our letters, you know, sometimes it's ARBC or whatever, but they know the logo. They know it. They know it very well. We've worked really hard to get it out there until people know it. And so, like, let's not change it and screw it up. And
it's going to confuse people. They're going to think we're something else.
Yeah,
so they're not going to know.
Yep. Yeah. So it's just like, yeah, we were all kind of feeling it. And I think they were a little, I didn't attend the meeting, but Mary went to the meeting in person in June. And she, there was, we've always thought there was a little disconnect sometimes, you know, and there always is. Anybody who's worked is like, I think you listen, I think you think you hear us, but I don't think you really hear us sometimes. And yeah, I think they heard him that day, and I think they're going to hear it with this survey because, yeah, it was interesting. So yeah, it just, I don't really see the point in it. And the other thing is what we pointed out is if you're rebranding to get us more consumers, we can't serve all the ones we're getting in our door now. We're backing people up, you know, we're having to put people off a little bit, something we never want to do, but we have to schedule out a little bit further now because we have so many people walking in our doors. So you don't usually try to market if you can't, you know, support that. So that'd be like a, you know, a store doing all this marketing, but we can only be open from 10 to 2 because that's the only staffing we have. So don't come. So yeah, it's been kind of an interesting summer. Just never a dull moment. So that's what we've got going on there. Program reports, you can take a look at those too and see that we are busy. You got anything to say on nutrition at all?
I just looked back at last year's average donations. I mean, I looked at everything. Our meals are down about 3,500 from this time last year. However, our donations are up a little, $661 higher. So, which I'm trying to think of when we changed the suggested donation to $4. So I do think that
has helped.
It helped a little bit. And that was about a year and a half ago or so, I think, when we did that.
And you made it easier, right? You went from $3.50 to
$4. Correct.
So there's no.
Right. 50 cents. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. So our average donations at this time last year for Congregate and Home Deliver was $2.95. At this time, Congregate is $3.02 and Home Deliver is $3.16. So it's not at that $4, but it's slowly working its way up.
Yeah.
So
our information and assistance contacts, as you can see, they're hovering anywhere between middle 500s to over 600. I think we're on target to be at about 7,000 total contacts again, which is a lot, especially when we've operated with not full staff. But they're good about getting people in and getting them done. What takes a little more time now is because, you know, with the pandemic, we did everything over the phone, but technically we're supposed to be out in home. So you got to go to the Blue River or Muscadet from here. It's a lot longer, you know, there's a lot more time, just windshield time eaten up. So, but that is a requirement. So we do that. Our disability benefit specialist cases have come down a little bit, which is good. To be realistic, high 60s to 70s is considered about the peak. And we typically have gone over 80s. And as you can see in March, she actually got over 100. So we were working on trying to get that back down, and it has come down a little bit. Again, those tend to go in waves. I think in February and March, when Medicaid disenrollment started happening and the unwinding was happening, then people started thinking, I'm going to need to do something. So, but yeah, caregivers gotten better. We are finding more caregivers support. We are finding some more respite providers. However, they're more expensive. But at least they're out there. So that's a good thing because that's been a problem in the past. So any questions on any of the reports? Rides are always happening. We are looking for more volunteer drivers. Again, we're seeing that come around. As many of you probably know, if you've got a car, vehicle insurance has gone up, and insurance companies are going after a volunteer driver skin, saying if you're going to be a volunteer driver, then it's even going to cost you more. Price is already high. we've got some people not liking that too well. And yeah, so that will, that could be an issue for us as we move along. But the bus is doing well. Taxi's been pretty good. So, and wheelchair has too. Dan's done a great job with the bus. I mean, he's taking, I think he's often got anywhere from 6 to 10 on a good day going around. So they had a, I'll tell you one heartwarming story and then I'll be done. But we had a lady, I won't say where, but she was in a town and she went into the nursing home in another town quite a ways away, and was feeling a little isolated and things like that. Well, we have a group from her former town that goes on the bus quite a bit. So we got word that she was hoping that maybe she could do lunch with them if they came to the town that she was in. And so several of them, ones that don't even usually ride the bus, got on the bus and rode over, and they all went to fast food restaurant actually, but they all went up to lunch with her, and just that was just really, really nice. And this has been somebody we've been involved with for a lot longer time, just, you know. So it was really nice that that could happen, and they were thrilled. She was thrilled, and it all worked out. The bus was going anyway, and so it just worked out, and it was very nice. So it's kind of nice when those things happen, and you can do that, because as you said, that isolation is a big thing, and she was feeling kind of lonely, so that was nice. All right, any questions? Any? We don't typically go this long. It's been a longer day.
Why are you tired now?
Usually we wrap up in an hour. A little later today.
That's it. We need a motion. I can do it.
Order to adjourn.
All in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?